Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Fun show coming up today. We'll have our high school football roundtable. Shikalimi will be at Central Columbia, and Dave Ritchie will join us for that. Sealands Grove at Jersey Shore, rematch of last year's playoffs. Zach Showers will have that. And Central Mountain is at Lewisburg, and Greg Wetzel will have that. Also on the show today, Dave Revson of BTN. And also Cam Miller of Pro Football Focus. So once again, another shabby list of guests. We apologize in advance. Football starts in earnest tonight. Clemson plays Georgia Tech. UCLA plays Cincinnati. Utah BYU is the late game. Should be a heck of a game tonight. We have a first James Franklin show tonight. Russ Rose is going to be the lead guest before James gets there. So we have a lot going on. And looking forward to talking to our high school guests as well. I know we had to battle a little bit on the Shikalimi guests. Apparently that's going to be a battle every week.
Well, that's why I had to step in yesterday just to figure out, you know, just who's going to step up.
And once again, which one of the two stepped up?
Well, you know the answer to that before you even uttered the first syllable. So,
I mean, who hasn't stepped up?
Right.
Maybe that ought to be brought up in the staff meeting.
That's true.
And I don't just mean for this segment. I mean, in general, you just haven't stepped up. All right. Fourth preseason game for the Steelers is tonight. Now, do I agree with how preseasons go now? Yes, I do. I do agree. If I'm running the team, I'm not playing these guys ever. I'm not playing Roethlisberger. I don't need to see Roethlisberger in a preseason game.
There's actually one rookie we don't even have to see tonight, and that's Devin Bush. He's been so impressive so far.
Yep. No, he's been what you'd hope he would be. And again, you know how much I praise the pick. From a fan point of view, I have no desire to watch it. I think I watched two plays of the Steelers-Titans game. Those are the only two plays of the preseason I've watched. Or maybe I watched I did watch a series in the Hall of Fame game. But my days of sitting there watching preseason football, I think, are pretty much over.
I'm moving in that direction, too. I used to love watching preseason because I was just curious, okay, who's going to make the cut? Who has increased their chances of making the final 53 as we're, you know, now approaching 48 hours away from all 32 teams having to make those choices by 4 p.m. Saturday. I just love to see, and let's face it, tonight for most teams, it's only going to hinge between what? 4, 5, 6 roster spots per team?
Probably fewer than that.
Yeah.
Probably fewer than that. I think they pretty much have it determined with the exception of spots 52 and 53. And now, from the fan point of view, I just don't think it's worth watching. But I do agree, from a team point of view, why bother? Why risk someone in something that doesn't mean anything. So that part I do understand. So I see, you know, I don't want to watch it. I have no desire to watch it. When the curtain rises on the Packers-Bears game, I'll watch. Preseason, I don't want to watch it.
I mean, years past, you'd be guaranteed to watch, you know, the Game 3 preseason dress rehearsal. Roethlisberger would, you know, play a full half, maybe the first drive of the third quarter. I mean, last week, he was only in for three series. But then again, that's all you needed to see.
Right. And when I was a kid, they used to play what was called the Albie Booth game. It was for charity. Preseason game at Yale Bowl in New Haven. So we'd go down to the game. You know, see the Giants play the Cardinals, Giants play the Cowboys, whatever. And guess what? You saw everybody. Fran Tarkenton played a ton. Right? I mean, one year, the Giants played the Jets. First time they ever met. It was a preseason game. Namath played the whole game. Tarkenton played the whole game. Well, they were trying to build fans back then. And I think that I agree with how they're doing things. Because, I don't want to risk anybody in the preseason. It's the preseason. It doesn't count. Now, it counts for somebody trying to make the team. That part I do understand. But, for example, who's going to be the third running back? Really? I'll never forget the year that the Steelers were going to play the Ravens in the playoffs. And Le'Veon Bell was hurt and could not play the game. And they were going to use the backup guy. And Kevin was co-hosting the show then, and Kevin was going on about how good the backup guy was. And I said, Kevin, in all honesty, if he was that good, why does he only have 8 carries on the season? Well, it turned out in the game, I think he gained fewer than 10 yards rushing in the game. They lost. They weren't even competitive in the game. But that's the bottom line. I mean, that's who you're talking about. Guys that really are not good enough to be primetime players and are really not going to help you win. They're really not going to help you win. That's what it's down to in preseason game 4. So I'm not going to watch that tonight. But again, I agree with what they're doing. If I'm coaching, I don't play them either. Just because I agree with the approach doesn't mean that, for me personally, it's watchable. If you want to listen to it, it's on 100.9 The Valley tonight with Bill and Tun Chilkin and Craig Woofley. So this is that's what's coming up tonight. Now, meanwhile, regular season football starts in earnest tonight. Clemson, Georgia Tech. Heard the Clemson quarterback's decent. Did you hear that?
Locked in for the next 2 years with Dabo. Yep.
Utah and BYU. That might be a really good game tonight. UCLA is playing at Cincinnati. Interesting game. We're going to talk with Ken. Also coming up this weekend, Auburn and Oregon might be the marquee game. They took the Boise State Florida State game, which was scheduled for Jacksonville. They've now moved it further inland, and now they're going to play it at Doak Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee with the hurricane bearing down. And that hurricane might be a Category 4 by the time it gets to Florida. Unreal. And that might be a Category 4 by the time it gets there.
Yeah, CBS News was talking about, we'd heard about it in the news for a couple of days, was it going to be another direct hit on Puerto Rico, almost 2 years to the to the day of that terrible one they had to endure about 24 months ago, but took a different turn at the very last minute, so now looks like Florida could be dealing with quite a bit of rain.
Yeah,
in some portions, some portions anyway. So,
and a lot of wind. Could be a lot of damage from the surf. It's a Cat 4. There could be a lot of damage down there. So they took the Boise State, Florida State game, and they moved it further inland to the Panhandle, to Tallahassee. But yeah, opening night tonight. I mean, in earnest. I mean, week zero. Now, I'm going to point out, we'll say it one more time, and of course, as usual, and you know, people won't listen, but I'll say it anyway. All right? There'll be complaints about tackling. Oh, Penn State can't tackle. I can't. No. Okay, watch all the other games. Nobody's tackling. Florida, Miami. Not exactly a tackling exhibition. There are better tackles made by the police in the parking lot. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You've patiently waited all summer to buy that new car or truck.
Well, this is it. Hurry into all Sunbury Motors locations now through Saturday.
At Sunbury Motors Ford,
it's the final days of the Hurry Up and Save sales event. Choose from over 100 new 2019 Ford F-150s with discounts as high as $14,500. And choose from over 50 2019 Ford Escapes. They start at $17,985.
At Sunbury Motors Hyundai,
a 2019 Hyundai Kona SE starts at just $28,852. There's 13 2019 Tucson SE starting at $22,619. And a 2020 Elantra SE is under $20,000 at $19,089.
At Sunbury Motors Kia,
there's 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and Serenos. Your interest rate will be zero until 2025. And the summer with a new vehicle. From Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Sunbury Motors.
All right, high school football roundtable coming up next half hour. Then in the next hour, Cam Meller, Pro Football Focus, and Dave Revson from BTN. BTN Live is going to be here on Saturday. So Dave will be here along with Howard Griffith, Jerry DiNardo. They'll be here on Saturday. So that's their opening tailgate show. They'll be outside Gate B at the Jordan Center. But now we're up to the point where you have actual games. Enough of the talk. Talking season, boys and girls, about to end. Now we're going to see what results are. Very quickly, I want to get into two things. Sean Clifford being second. I just want to slip in one quick basketball note for you. So I'm Mike Watkins this morning. Boy, he's moving well. I'm like, man, looks a little bit different. Mike is under 260 now. He's under 260. Because I said to him, I said, you look svelte. He goes, oh, yeah. He says, I ate right. I worked out. It's a big plus if Mike's like that. That's a big plus for basketball if he's like that. And now I want to get into Sean Clifford for a moment. I know we're in an era where I don't like how it's going. I want to transfer. Brandon Winbush, starting quarterback, UCF. Justin Fields, starting quarterback, Ohio State. Kelly Bryant, starting quarterback at Missouri. Jalen Hurts, starting quarterback at Oklahoma. Although I'll put Hurts out of the category of the others for a moment because Hurts, you know, he has his degree. I thought he was a great teammate when he was at Alabama. Just from the outside looking in. Sean Clifford, though, I like the way it's worked for Penn State. Where Trace McSorley was behind Christian Hackenberg. And then when it was his time, he stepped up and he started for 3 years. And Sean Clifford spent 2 years behind Trace McSorley. And now it's his time where you learn the system, you get a feel for what's going on, You know, because Sean was not a scout team quarterback. He was in the system the entire time. He's integrated in the system. And I really want to see the payoff there. I think he's going to be a heck of a quarterback here. Now, how long it gets for him to then show he's a heck of a quarterback, we're going to have to see. But I think in the end, he's going to be a heck of a quarterback here. And I just like the fact that he's been in the system. He knows how to play the system. He knows what decisions are supposed to be made in the system. And now he's a third-year player here. Now he still has 3 years of eligibility remaining because he's a redshirt sophomore. But it is his third year, his third preseason in the program. I think that counts for something. I think that counts for the fact that you can, that I think you're better prepared for everything without having to then, you know, you don't have to learn the jargon. You don't have to learn the route tree. You don't have to learn, you know, you already know that. And when it comes time for install for an offense, it doesn't have to be a cram course. Although that's one of the things I think, one of the many items I think James Franklin does extremely well is he does not gloss over install. He wants to make sure that everybody has the fundamental of what they want to do first. Then we'll apply it to situations. And then he does a lot of situational stuff after that. Will Levis, I love his release. Love his size. I mean, he's a big man. Really likes how he runs. And when it comes to that release, he just kind of flicks that wrist. That ball flies. But for Clifford, I think this is his time. And in his time, and all the time I've watched him, I've always talked about, always, you know, anybody who's listened to this show on a regular basis knows I've always said, when I'd slip in a little tidbit about Sean Clifford, that he throws the best ball of the group. And he throws a beautiful ball. I think he's accurate. I also like his decision-making. Decision-making is a big part of quarterback. I'm not saying Will Levis is not a good decision-maker. He's just fine. But I think being older in the system allows Sean Clifford to be a good decision maker. And I think he was already naturally a good one to begin with. So while there's a heavy emphasis, obviously, on the defense, and I totally understand that, and there should be a heavy emphasis on the defense, I think you've got an offense that's got a little more to it than maybe a lot of people realize. All right, High School Football Roundtable coming up in the next half hour. Greg Wetzel, Dave Ritchie, Zach Showers. We invited the play-by-play voice of Shikellamy on the show. Sean, what was the response you got?
Let's get the chief. The people demand the chief.
I'm all for making it a better show, too.
All hail the chief.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. High School Football Roundtable. Greg Wetzel and the Chief Dave Ritchie are actually together in the studio today.
Solving the world's problems.
Great.
Getting
well,
it done,
I mean,
over
let's
there.
Let's get to it. I mean, I'm just great that we have two guys that are actually dedicated to their broadcast. You know,
and that's
as opposed to their own personal interests. All right, so Stop laughing, guys.
Not just broadcasts, but also golf games. Right, Greg?
That's right.
Right.
Golf's important.
All right. All right. What did we shoot? What did we shoot?
I didn't play today.
How about that?
I took the day off.
Wow.
But I had a 79 yesterday.
79?
Yeah, I'm getting worse.
Jeez, Dave, listen to this.
I would shoot 79 after nine holes, Steve. You know that.
All I know is that the one of the guys in the station shot 79. The windmill got him. That's not funny at all.
He's still on the DL.
That's not funny at all. All right. I want to start. Dave, I'll start with you.
Okay.
Shikellamy goes to the wire against Danville. That's a tough loss. What did they show you, though, that says, okay, I see some building blocks and a foundation?
Well, I was with them all last year down on the sidelines, and the very first thing that I noticed was they made very few mistakes when it came to special teams. For example, they always had the proper number of guys out on the field, and that was important because once in a while they did not have enough or they had one too many. The other thing, last year, continuously when they got the ball with first and 10, there'd be an offsides or a procedure penalty, and they'd start first and 15. That did not happen at all. And there were only three penalties all night long for the Braves. So it shows to me that they're much more disciplined this year. They're also showed, a great attitude towards playing. Steve, they had 189 yards rushing against Danville, and they had 86 yards in the air and 275 total yards offense. They totally outplayed Danville as far as the statistics go. And, you know, here's something else. With 30 seconds to go, they're down. Danville kicks off. 10 seconds later, they're on Danville's 10-yard line. So with 20 seconds to go, they had four downs to try to get that ball in the end zone, and they had two passes that were basically dropped that would have won the game for them. They didn't quit.
Didn't quit, but then again, let's go to the other part. What they, if they have the ability to finish, and I don't mean that drive, when you rack up nearly 300 yards in total offense, obviously there were a few drives along the way they didn't finish.
No, you're right.
So what do they need to do to finish?
Well, first of all, they were inside the red zone probably three times and came away without any points, and they need to do that. They need to either to get a field goal or score. And I think it's just a matter of, make the complete drive. Don't make the offsides when you're at first and goal from the four. Or don't have a mix up in the backfield. It's just one of those things that if they only really had one perfect drive, and that was the one when they scored their touchdown right before the first half was over. But they did move the football, and they did do it with both passing and running.
All right, let's talk about defensively. They only gave up 13 points in the game, Dave. So what did you see that was encouraging defensively?
Well, they got people to the ball. The down linemen for Shikellamy did a nice job when they were ran at or if they were trying to contain the quarterback. That was very, very positive along those lines. The secondary, I thought, did a stellar job also. The linebackers, I think, got caught up inside several times, and that allowed Danville to get outside. And with the backs that Danville has, if you get outside, with Dressler and Harris, those kids can pick them up and put them down pretty good. But overall, they got people to the ball, and there just wasn't one person that was making the tackle.
Which now gets me to the next part. Do you see a team with some athleticism where you feel more people can, quote, run on this team as opposed to the number of guys last year athletically in terms of their ability to just run?
I think that our kids not only are, pretty athletic from the defensive line to the linebackers to the kids in the defensive backfield, but they listen to the coaches and they do their jobs and they're where they're supposed to be, and that's something that's a key too. If I'm not mistaken, they're going to be a team that's going to be in just about every game, and they're going to just have to pick some things and get them straightened out in order to win. I think they have one of the best quarterbacks to run the Delaware Wing T, and Drew Balestrini makes great decisions, has improved his passing, and he's, like I said last week, they give him that extra running back in the backfield.
Right, and that's big because you have to account for that guy on every play.
Exactly.
Which now brings me to the matchup where they hit the road to play Central Columbia. What are a couple of items that are on your checklist in this game that will be important?
Well, they have to make sure they have somebody cover any backs out of the backfield, because if Central Columbia was at the Danville game, they will see that several times the Harris boy, as a single back, got out of the backfield and he was wide open on a flare pass or a screen to the side. And then many times there was nobody there for 10 yards. And that's how they picked up most of their yardage. And I think that's something that the coaches will see. And I don't know if somebody missed an assignment, which I think probably happened, or they hadn't seen this before. But that's one thing that they have to take care of. As far as Central Columbia running the ball against them, I think we're pretty solid. And I also think with the kids we got in the secondary, that they do a nice job, whether they're in man-to-man or whether they're in zone. So I don't know a lot about Southern or Central. The only thing I know is that Mount Carmel shut them out 23-0, but it was only 6-0 at the end of the first half. And, I can't even tell you how their running was, because they were minus 2 yards for the entire game against Mount Carmel rushing, and they only had 65 yards in the air. So, Mount Carmel is one of those teams, puts everybody up in the box and dares you to run, and Central couldn't. Yeah.
Dave, that'll be at 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime tomorrow night on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Thanks, as always.
Hey, thank you. And we're hoping that the Braves can get a win and not just one of those emotional victories, all right? Get something on the board.
Exactly right. No, I mean, I agree with you, because this is something I mentioned when you were on last week. And I said if they could get a win in one of the first two games, remember I phrased it, one of the first two games.
Yes, you did.
What would that mean emotionally? Because you need that if you're going to be, if you're going to work as hard as obviously they did last week, you do need some validation.
Exactly. Yep. Instead of frustration, you need that. Right. You need validated. You're right.
Yep. Dave, thanks
you,
so much.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Joining us now is Billy Casper. I mean, Greg Wetzel.
Yeah.
And Lewisburg will be at home taking on Central Mountain. All right. So they play the opener against Sealands Grove. So we'll start with the old Apollo 13 deal. What do we have in the spacecraft right now that's good?
Our quarterback, Nick Shedleski. He played really well. He was 10 for 20 for 165 yards and a touchdown, and he had several drop passes that were right on the money that would have given Lewisburg first down. In fact, two of them would have given Lewisburg first and goal inside the 10-yard line. So he really looks good.
All right. What was the area of struggle that you saw that you think is correctable, but it was still a struggle?
Well, there are two areas, and I think both are correctable. Tackling was one. Lewisburg was in position to make some big plays defensively, and they just didn't come through with the tackle and the stop. Part of that is because they're playing some really good athletes. The second one would be the offensive line needs to stay committed to their scheme and block who they're supposed to block instead of saying, oh, I'm going to take this guy, and it's the wrong guy. Lewisburg is in a couple third-and-one situations, third-and-two situations, and they block the wrong guy, and Sealands Grove in their 3-5 defense is sending the house, and we lose yardage in the play. Moyers was hitting the backfield, or Shedleski was hitting the backfield for no gain or losing yards.
All right, so let's get to, okay, you talk about the tackling part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Were they in a good position? In other words, I've been able to get myself to a spot, and you and I both know tackling early in the season for most teams is lousy anyway, right, because of how the preseason has changed, which, by the way, I completely understand. Look, the key is to save the game. It's not to not to wear out the game's welcome and do it the wrong way.
Right.
But that also means that there's a domino of that, and one of them is tackling. Were they in the position to make the tackle?
I would say most of the time they were in the correct position to make the tackle. They just didn't make it. And that was big because there were a lot of yards after hit that Seals Grove got in that game. The quarterback really probably escaped five or six times from sacks because he would get away from a person with a stiff arm or a roll. You know, he'd turn, spin the other way. Same with the running back, Nate Schoen, would spin off of a tackle, and they wouldn't follow through with the play. So I would say about 75-80% of the time, that's the way it was. The other times, they weren't in position to make the tackle.
All right, now let's get to a couple other parts.
Mm-hmm.
How well did they play the trenches in this game?
Defensively, they did a nice job in the trenches. Offensively, they still need some work. As we mentioned last week, they were inexperienced and they were young, and they're going to get younger this week. They're going to start a freshman guard. Let's see, it's Garrick Feldman. His brother plays right guard. He's going to play left guard. He's 6'1", 190, so he's big enough to do the job there, but he's going to be thrown in this week against Central Mountain, and they're moving the left guard to right tackle, and the right tackle's moving the tight end. So there's changing parts going on this week, so we'll have to see what happens.
That's interesting. Why? Is it because of because I remember guys, let's take a Penn State, for example. I remember Irv Pankey played for years in the NFL. Believe it or not, in 1978, the first couple of games, he was the tight end. And then Brad Scovel, right, became the tight end. After that, Irv got moved back to his natural slot. So why the changing up, especially so early?
Well, I think the Ordonez boy that's moving from right tackle to end, he's 6'3", 215, and he can run. So I think that's something that they saw in practice. They were messing around with this in practice before this decision was made. And after looking at the film on Monday or Sunday, when they were looking at the film, they thought it would probably be better to move their left guard out to right tackle. Harrison's a good kid. He's a big kid. He's about 205 pounds. I mean, Ethan Spotts is a big kid, about 215 pounds, so he'd be better suited at tackle than at guard. And the Feldman kid is one of the few freshmen they have that is, for lack of a better term, body ready to play as a freshman. Lewisburg played seven freshmen the other night in the game when the game was competitive, but most of them aren't physically ready to play high school football yet. They're I'd say, brain-wise, IQ-wise, they're ready to play. They know what to do, but they're just not there physically yet. So another year in the weight program that will really help those kids. And they showed well. They did a nice job the other night, the freshmen, but they're just not quite ready there.
Which now brings me to the matchup they have with Central Mountain. What are a couple of items that stick out to you that could be important?
Well, they need to run the ball. Last week they ran for just over 60 yards in the game. They threw for 165. They need to run the football and establish the run. I think that's what you're going to see Lewisburg do. Central Mountain's a lot like Lewisburg, and they're young. They lost some skill players last year. Their quarterback returns from last year, and their tight end returns from last year. But other than that, they're replacing just about everybody on that offensive skill set and some offensive linemen and defensive linemen. So I think Lewisburg needs to establish the run. You know, Seals Grove, when Moyers would flare out in a pass or go anywhere, there were three guys on him. So they have to come up with the Dominic boy has to get the ball a little more and take some of the pressure off of Moyers in the offensive line.
I talked to a couple of course superintendents. They told me they're going to Wetzel-proof some courses.
That's okay. I'll still play them.
Because it's amazing around here. Like, the courses are the same setup they've been the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And they claim they already Jones-proofed them.
Oh, they can do that pretty easily. Just put a sand trap anywhere and I'll hit it.
Right, by making no changes at all, they said the courses are Jonesboro. Right? Yeah. Okay, great. Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate it. It's always fun with you.
No problem. Take care.
All right, Zach Showers on the other side of that game last week. It was Selins Grove winning 28-6. Zach, welcome back. What did you like in watching the game last Friday night?
Well, there's a lot to like on Selins Grove's end last week. I mean, starting offensively, as I said last week, we knew it was going to be a totally different team as far as scheme-wise. And they came out in I formation and play action, and they just executed. It didn't look like a team that was playing week one, especially considering it was a different offensive line. There are some guys that have played there before. But overall, they came out. I think the game plan was fairly simple, and they were able to run the ball. They were able to go play action and be effective with that. And defensively, I mean, it looked like Selins Grove defense from a couple years ago. There's a lot of experience back, a lot of guys flying over the field, and they were able to shut down Max Moyers and just overall had a really, really solid opening game against Lewisburg.
All right, so I'll get to the part I asked about Greg. How did you feel about the job in the trenches on both sides of the ball? Were they able to really have their way as often as possible?
Actually, they were. And I think going into last week, one of our big concerns was, what was this offensive line going to look like? And there was times where they were pretty dominant. You saw guys that were making that initial block and then getting to the second level. They were physical. They were aggressive. And that was nice to see, especially offensively. Defensively, we talked a little bit last week about Nate Schoen, who's, you know, an all-state wrestler. There was a number of times last week where he was playing nose tackle, and you'd see the center snap the ball, and immediately you'd see him 3 or 4 yards in the backfield. And he only ended up having 3 tackles on the night, which is somewhat deceptive. But you saw a lot of impact on his end, and a lot of impact from the entire D line, and allowing the linebackers to really flow and make a lot of stops, especially on Moyers.
A couple of years ago, and they went through this for 3 years, they had to be a really good pass blocking team. Last year, without that quarterback, and there was a change of style, that also means different blocking scheme. In this second year of this offense, have you seen this team up front adapt better to the blocking scheme that they need to run this offense?
I think so. Having access to some film and seeing things, it seemed like there was a lot more calls, a lot more complicated assignments as far as shifts and taking on different guys blocking. I felt last week was the most straightforward blocking scheme that we've seen. There wasn't a lot of adjustments. There wasn't, what are they showing on this end? It was line up. Here's what we're doing. We have a fullback. You know, we're playing power football, and then we're making good decisions on it. So I think that's definitely something where it seems like things are just a little bit more simplified. And I think at the high school level, that's a good thing.
Matchup will be at Jersey Shore, familiar from last year, obviously. So what's important this time through in order to swing at Selins Grove's way?
I'll tell you, it's interesting looking at Jersey Shore, and this is a team that, a series now that has gone back and forth so much the last couple years. Mm-hmm. They still come out in a 5-2 defense. They don't change that regardless of if you're going I formation or spread. The big thing that's a difference maker this year is Jersey Shore does a lot more hurry up. So they're still running out of the I formation, power formation. They're throwing the ball a little bit more, but they're doing a little bit more hurry up. So I think a little bit of Selins Grove's game plan is going to be, can they get up early? Can they do ball control and kind of try to limit that hurry up offense? They have a quarterback, Tanner Lorson, who threw for over 1,700 yards last year. He's back, threw for over 200 and over 100 rushing, and accounted for all 8 touchdowns last week in a win over Belfon. And so they don't have the names that they used to the past couple of years as a whole, but it's a still pretty solid Jersey Shore team. So it's I think it'll be interesting to watch because the past couple of years the styles have been totally different, especially offensively. Jersey Shore was more the power football team, would throw the ball when they needed to. Thielens Grove was throwing the ball all over the place and running when they needed to. And now it's a little bit of strength versus strength. So I think it's going to be key, especially going against that 5-2 defense, for Thielens Grove to be really strong up front, to know their assignments. And Danny Schock had a nice game this past week, threw for 150 yards, and all of that was off play action. I think for Thielens Grove to get a win on Friday night, I think Danny's going to have to have a big game. You know, maybe just those same numbers, but he's got to hit some big third downs and get the passing game going so that Thielens Grove's running game can be a little bit more effective against a pretty solid defense up front.
Zach, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you much. Have a good night.
All right. Shikalimi at Central Columbia. That will be on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Thielens Grove at Jersey Shore at Eagle 107. Central Mountain at Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley. Next half hour, Cam Miller, Pro Football Focus, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.